Before I start, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. Somebody asked me where they could find the set-aside prayer. I made it up.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't, because I have the cards right here.
Each one's different. Everybody. All right. For those listening on the podcast, this is a tough crew. You can find it on the internet. I heard about the set-aside prayer 2001 Fellowship of the Spirit, Dave Fredrickson. And I have my own, so I'm going to say it. God, everybody be quiet. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, the steps, the program, the big book, recovery, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth and have a new experience. Help me carry your message tonight. Amen. All right, tonight we are on steps 6 and 7. We finished last week. I read the steps 6 and 7 in the big book, and we did the Drop the Rock Sandy Beach talk, and we did Mary and the Serenity Boat. It'll be on the site this week. I'll be putting it up. I had the handout from the Drop the Rock book. On 6 and 7, to me, they're really the steps that have changed my life. We spend a lot of time on them. There's only 2 paragraphs in the big book. I think I went through last week why they're written the way they are. They're not meant to be done once and then move on. It's meant to be making you willing to do 6 and 7 the rest of your life. I have this information tonight from the Drop the Rock book, which you can get on Amazon. Years ago at 7 o'clock after the 6 o'clock meeting, we had a Drop the Rock and we went through the book together, and that was years ago. We're going to go through a lot of the book here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I hope that's okay, because that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to read here. It says, Mike shares his experience. This is the introduction to Drop the Rock, and there's some really powerful information here. Because I heard somebody say today that they were sober, but they weren't. They're still irritable, restless, and discontent. And they're not happy, joyous, and free. And if you're not happy, joyous, and free, and if you're still irritable, restless, or discontent, then maybe you need to do steps 6 and 7. And if you haven't done 1 through 5, you may need to do that. But 6 and 7 is how we go from irritable, restless, discontent to have peace and serenity all day long. It says, before discussion of step 4, the big book says, our liquor was but a symptom. A symptom of what? Our spiritual malady, our separation from God. And it says, so we had to get down to the causes and conditions. So liquor, drinking too much alcohol, was a symptom of a spiritual illness, and it was a spiritual solution for spiritual illness. They used to call alcohol spirits. They were powerful, wasn't it? It changed the way you saw things. Great stuff. But it stops working, at least for me. And then the other problem I had is that when I drank, I couldn't control how much I drank. So I got in a lot of trouble, and my life became a mess. So we had to get down to causes and conditions if we're going to treat a condition. When I was a physician, I had to know what was the cause and condition. Somebody had weight loss and pain in the chest. I couldn't treat them until I knew what was causing the weight loss and the pain in the chest. And so we have to know what the causes and conditions are if we want to be rid of them. If they had a big tumor in their lung, I need to know that to know how to take it out, right? Does this make sense? So we had to get down. A thorough inventory reveals these causes and conditions. And the causes and conditions, the causes were my self-centered character defects, and the conditions was my living in resentment, fear, and shame and guilt from my harmful conduct. And in the big book, we look at resentment, fear, and shameful conduct, and then we find the causes, our character defects. And then my character defects were rooted in my self-centeredness. Everybody got that? Make sense? So if you're resentful, fearful, and you have shame and guilt, it's because you're self-centered and you're practicing character defects. Fifth step allows us to share them with God and another human being, and so remove the inner pain that has caused in our past lives. See, we start to get free. I read the fifth step promises, remember? How we are at peace, We feel the nearness of our Creator. We have started to have a spiritual change. And because the inner pain is now getting out, we've also learned in the fourth and fifth step how to forgive everyone we were angry at, how to see how we harm them, how to lose our fear, and how to be the person God created. After finishing my fifth step, I discarded the inventory, but kept the single page that listed my major character defects. And that's the fourth column we talk about, or fifth column in your resentment inventory. What were my mistakes? What actions did I do as a result of my character defects? And the big book says, where was I dishonest, inconsiderate, fearful, and self-seeking? And I had erred considerate. Those are the five things that it asks us three times in the big book. When we inventory at night, during the day, and in terms of resentments. So if you're fearful, dishonest, inconsiderate, self-seeking, or dishonest, you're being in self. Because you can't be the person God created and be angry. And you can't be selfish if you're God-centered. The first time I read step six, I thought it meant I had to arrive at some angelic state of mind in which I would become and forever remain entirely ready to have God remove all my defects. I had forgotten that AA promises spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. And what they're trying to do, and they're going to talk about it, is we're trying to become as willing as we can based on the information we have in steps four and five. And the more you live the spiritual life, the more willing you are to have character defects removed, because you know you feel better when they're removed. And you also can see them quicker, and you see more of them. 12 and 12 set me right. It calls step six AA's way of stating the best possible attitude one can take in order to make a beginning on this lifetime job. It's a lifetime job, having our defects removed and us letting go of them. So if you're having a bad day, it's not anyone's fault. It's because you're hanging on to your character defects and they're running your life. How does that work for you? Why would you want to do that? So the greatest gift, I've had so many great gifts from doing this study and working the steps. My greatest gift today is that when I'm disturbed, I know there's something wrong with me and I'm back in character defects and I can ask God to remove them and they go. And it's the best possible attitude is always just the beginning. Now, what is the best possible attitude you can take toward this lifetime job? I wrote, each minute become willing whenever disturbed to seek God and let go of whatever's blocking you from God. Every minute. Really, our recovery is every minute while we're awake. When you're asleep, I don't know. But when we're awake, we're thinking. And when alcoholics are thinking, we tend to see things a certain way, and we need to change the way we see them. You're never going to wake up and have a perfect day and not get disturbed or self-centered. If you do, let me know about it. Give me a call. Because there's always something that's going to bother us, either fear or anger. It doesn't have to be bad, but we're going to be uneasy about something. And that's just the way we're made. God made us that way when we separate, but God also gave us a gift that when we come back to Him, He takes it away. It's absolutely amazing. One morning while he was at A. Hazleton's fellowship, he woke very early and knew it was time to make that beginning. I took out the list of defects, read it over, and asked myself two questions. Why are you holding on to these things, and what do these things ever do for you? And, you know, people will tell me what's going on. I say, well, how's that working for you? You know, if you're disturbed, you're holding on to something, and why are you holding on to it? Remember we talked about drop the rock. This is dropping the rock. What are we carrying around that we're holding on to that we won't let go of? And each day it could be something different. And it could be something today that I didn't even know about last year. The more gets revealed. But it's our old ideas. It's what we think we know, how we think things should be, what we need, what has to happen. It says, I may choose to hold on to them for fear of letting go, but holding on to them for years and years led into my alcoholism. Now, somebody said alcoholism crept up on him. I was an alcoholic before I drank. I was alcoholic from being a little kid because I had this delusion that if I could run the world perfectly, I would be happy. It says I had the delusion that if I managed the world well, I would feel okay. It never worked. And what was I trying to manage the world to feel okay? What I thought were my old ideas of what I needed to do to get approval. And so once I let go of those old ideas and realized I don't need other people's approval, just God's, it really set me free. So I got down on my knees and recited the big book, 7-step prayer, which asks God's help in replacing our willfulness for his will for us. That's basically all we're doing all day long, is we're getting rid of our willfulness and letting God's will in. Somebody, you hear all the time, I took it back. You ever hear that? I gave it, took it back. I don't know what that means. They're just practicing their character defects. But step 6 and 7 is where I want to replace my will for God's will, and I need God's help. Notice it says it asks for God's help. I can't do it on my own. Remember, it says moral and philosophical convictions galore. Wouldn't work. I don't have the willpower to become different. I need God's power to be different. See, for a long time, I was confused. I tried to work 6 and 7 myself with God's help. But once I realized that I just need to get out of the way and God will do it, it set me free. Because if I'm trying to fix what's wrong with me with my mind, I get confused. I don't know, is that true for anybody else? The 12 in cells calls that replacement a basic ingredient of all humility. 6 and 7 is the process of being humble, of having humility to see when we're wrong, to let go of when we're wrong, to let go of our separation. And the humility is asking God's help in replacing my will with his will. Remember on page 62 it says selfishness is the root of our problems. Anybody agree with that? It says we must be rid of it or it's going to kill us. You think that's bad? And who makes that possible? God. It has to come with God's help. Now, after you've done 1 through 5, remember you're developing a relationship with God. So you know you have awareness of God and you know when to seek him. I went to Hazleton for treatment because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Anybody relate to that? I believe we get active with step 6 when we get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Do you get tired of being irritable, restless, and discontent? Do you get tired of being afraid all the time? Getting angry all the time? It's exhausting. Who wants to live that way? And you know what I've learned now? If I start to get a fear, I just say to God, God, I've wasted so much of my life on fear. I'm not even going to deal with this now. It's not even happening. Take it away. I don't want to waste any more time on it. Now, it took me years to get to that point. When I start to judge, you know, I judge a lot. I'm very good at it. And when I start to judge, I say, there you go again. How's that working for you, Michael? We're all God's kids. Be considerate. Let go of it. They are who they are. Don't be disturbed for 1 minute more than you need to. And so he was sick and tired of the character defects of which alcoholism is a symptom, sick and tired of their effect not on the past but on our present lives. See, we're talking now in 6 and 7 is how we live each day. Remember, Joe and Charlie said, once you get to 6 and 7, you're responsible for your day, your life. You can't blame anybody else anymore. You have to take responsibility. In this ongoing process, the program is asking us to go where none of us has ever been before, into a life of lessened fear, diminished anger, fewer resentments, and genuine self-esteem instead of self-pity. See, we may have fear, but we don't give it as much power. You see, we stop. We may get angry, but we don't give it power. We're not carrying around resentments. And how do you get genuine self-esteem? By doing God's will, serving him and others. Don't you feel good when you let go of your judgment and you see people the way they really are, they're okay? Don't you feel better? However, the willingness to challenge and change patterns of thought, speech, and behavior that may have gone unchallenged for 10, 20, 30 years ago. So you have to be willing to change. And you're willing to change because in 4 and 5 you saw what these defects did for you. You saw your life story. You saw what a mess you made of it. What your mistakes were, your actions, how you harmed others. And I practiced my character defects. Anybody know that? I was very good. Joe and Charlie said we're all Americans at anger. and judgment and self-pity. Why? We practice them. And the more we practice them, the better we got. And now in recovery, we have to practice the opposite. We have to practice love and tolerance and patience and kindness. And the more we practice love and patience, kindness, tolerance, considerate, compassionate, the better, the quicker we are to do it. And so we don't stay on the other side, on the left-hand side of the spiritual checklist. Does this make sense? And so we have to learn a new way of living. And you only get good at it by practicing it. You don't get good at talking about it, you get good about doing it every day. These stories from Mary and Mike are good illustrations for a better understanding of working the 6 and 7 steps. The first 5 steps were the foundation for recovery. The next 2 steps, 6 and 7, begin the active day-to-day solution, removing what blocks us from our usefulness to other people and to our higher power, and especially what blocks us from ourselves. Our true self, the person God created. And I didn't like the one I created. It got me a wristband. It was horrible. I can't even describe how bad it was right before I surrendered. I'm gonna try to talk about that tomorrow night. There are 4 basic reasons we won't be entirely ready to work 6 and 7 steps. And he gives us 4 things why people won't do it. And this may be why people don't do the program. 1, a conscious decision that you're not gonna give up a specific character defect. Next, you blame our defects on other people. Anybody done that? We're good at that. People, situations, institutions, we rationalize. And then our capacity to rationalize is unlimited. I think it is. We call it rationalize, but I call it making excuses. People make excuses all the time for why they did what they did. And they even make sense to themselves. But when you listen to it, you know it's preposterous. We threw up barriers against unpleasant realities. Remember, it said, we read today, we lived on a lie. We knew our life, it was the only life we knew. We had rationalized our behavior till it made sense. But when people looked at us, if they videoed us in like our last month, that would have been really something, wouldn't it? Finally, it's denial. We are totally unaware of our own contribution to our problems. And that's when people can't see the truth about their situation, see the truth about themselves and their disease. The order of the 12 steps occurs for a reason. There's not much use to doing amends in 8 and 9 if there's no sign of willingness to change by doing steps 6 and 7. You have to really understand 6 and 7 and how you put in your life, and then you combine that and you start doing 8 and 9. They're done at the same time. 6, 7, 8, 9, they follow. And 6 and 7 really becomes step 10 all the time. And 8 and 9 is a process where you're making amends for your past harms and trying not to make further harms each day. How many times did you say you were sorry without the slightest intent of changing your behavior? Anybody do that? Working steps 8 and 9 is hollow unless we've begun working the 6th step with humility as our guide, because you won't really mean your amends. You won't really have forgiven the other people. You won't really be willing to make things right. You're doing it intellectually, but you're not doing it from the heart, because you see the need, you see them as people you love, and you have to be considerate too. And the promises in the big book that we read at some meetings, we don't read them here, come after the discussion of steps 8 and 9. The promises are really the opposite of the effects that alcohol had on us. The promises are a change in reality, the change in the way we see the world, right? And it's because we have a relationship with God, we're at peace, our fears fall from us, we feel at peace with our Maker, God's doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves, right? We're not fighting everybody and everything. So here they talk about the words of Sam Shoemaker, who was really responsible for much of the spiritual message in the big book. He was head of the Calvary Church and the Oxford Group where Abby Thatcher and Bill W. went. And they had 6 steps, the Oxford Group. And they actually wanted Shoemaker to write the steps and write how it works, but he says it has to be written by an alcoholic. Bill W. credited Shoemaker with passing on to him and early AAs the spiritual keys that make up the program in the 12 steps. He wrote about the necessity of making daily surrenders. We talk about that a lot. A daily surrender to what? To needing God's will, God's direction, not running the show. I can't do it. I'm without power on my own. And the surrender means to seek a different way, to change your path. So I want to change my path from me running my life to God running my life. And what am I surrendering every day? My will and my character defects. What's the first prayer we're supposed to say in the morning when we wake up? It says when we wake up, we make plans for the day. And then they say on page 86, but before you begin that, ask God to direct your thinking, divorcing it from selfish, dishonest, self-seeking motives. I say that prayer every morning before I get out of bed. Because if I think of my plans for the day, they're my plans. I want them to be God's plans. Does this make sense? That's the direction on page 86. We surrender as much of ourselves to as much as God as we understand, so it's a process. And the more I drop the rock, the more I progress. It's like a balloon, and you have these bags of sand holding you down, these hot air balloons. And the more you drop the rock and you take the bags off, the higher the balloon goes. And then if you grab those bags and put them back, your balloon goes down. And so the more you do it, the better you get. And the more you surrender, the more you see of God. In other words, our spiritual progress is based in direct proportion to our dropping the rock. So if you come in here and want to give up alcohol, and you don't want to drink, and you want to go to meetings, that's what you'll get. But if you come here and you want to be happy, joyous, and free, and you want peace and serenity, be useful to God and others, then you need to work the steps. You could stay sober and not work the steps. And then, but are you happy? It says, I heard someone say, if you're not happy and you're sober, then you need to call somebody and say, what do I need to do? Yeah. What do I need to do so I can have peace? We're not talking about happy because you're getting more money or this and that. We're talking about peace. Are you at peace with yourself in the world? We are very fortunate all of our defects aren't revealed to us all at once, but some days it feels like it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Recovery works by giving us daily insight into what we can do to remove what blocks us. And that's step 11, prayer and meditation. Step 10, inventorying when the character defects come up. What does it say in the big book when you see selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, or fear? You watch for it with God. What does it say to do? It's a very complicated thing. And it says at once, ask God to remove them. So you wake up and you're starting getting a little angry. You say, God, remove my anger. You start getting a little, you don't have to stay in it at all. It's an option. That's on page 84, step 10. It's all in the big book. It all makes sense. It says we need a daily awareness that our character defects are the opposite of the principles of the program. It says practice the principles in all our affairs. And I have this card, which I give to the new people. Most of them just throw it away. But some of them might not. And we have, it says selfish and self-seeking. So I want to be interested in others. I'm frightened. I want to have courage. I'm inconsiderate. I want to be considerate. I'm prideful. I want humility. You see, the more we seek the opposite, the less we hold on to the character defects. I can't be loving and angry at the same time. It's not possible. Shoemaker also pointed in the early ideas, the A, that God reveals as much truth as you can live up to. That statement puts us directly on page 164, where it says the answers will come if your own house is in order. So the more you actually work the steps, the more that's being revealed. It says more is being revealed to us every day, remember? And so the more you do it, the more you see your old ideas, the more quickly you let go of them, the freer you get. So your balloon keeps going higher and higher. You keep throwing these bags off. There's no limit to how high you can go, except what you're willing to do. Some have called the 6 and 7 steps the forgotten steps because they aren't talked about that much. You go to a million meetings, you never hear people really talk about steps 6 and 7. A lot of people, I went to one meeting, and the guy had quite a few years, and he read the 2 paragraphs. He said, well, I said the prayer for God to remove all those defects of character that's blocking me from my usefulness to him and others. I said the prayer, and then I was had a defect today, so God must not want to have it removed. And I thought, alcoholism. You see how we can rationalize? God will remove whatever's blocking us from being useful to Him. And if we're holding on to it, it's bothering us in some way. And so he says the whole program is 6 and 7. I really believe that. By working the 6 and 7 steps, we're less likely, and if you go to the site, go to episodes, and go down to the tags at the bottom, 6 and 7, you'll see I've done a lot of talks on this. Steps we took, carry this message, the 12 and 12. We gain more understanding on how all the steps, although ordered for reason, need to be worked together. Remember, it's a continuous cycle, 1 through 12, all the time. It's a circle. We gain more understanding on how all the steps this prevents us from falling into the trap of understanding only just enough of the program to make us miserable and not enough to make us happy. And here's the problem. The trap is understanding only enough of the program and not doing it. See, knowing what the big book says won't help me do 6 and 7 unless I'm willing to let go and ask God to remove it and replace it. So understanding the program, staying sober, you could be pretty miserable. And in fact, I think one of the greatest things that I see that I wish we could change is people come to AA for years and they don't even know what the program is in the book. They don't know. It's not taught. They don't know. I went 5 years and I went to a lot of meetings. And until I listened to Joe and Charlie, I had no idea what this book was all about. The other problem with the book is that it's hard to read by yourself and see what's in it. It's like the scriptures. You need somebody to teach you. And when Joe and Charlie taught me the big book, then I understood it the more I studied it. Then when my son died, God told me to start a meeting and try to teach what's in the big book so people can understand and do it. I hope it's helped somebody. The action of 6 and 7 steps culminates in dropping the rock. All the stubborn, grasping, stupid, holding on to old patterns of behavior, thinking and feeling that are harmful to our progress in recovery. I know it's not a good example, but I can't tell you how many shows I've started on Netflix where I watch 15 minutes and I say, this is bad. This is terrible. God, what a waste of time. And then I'll decide to watch it, and it was great. I can't tell you how many books I've started. I've read 40 pages. Oh, this is the worst book I've ever read. It's horrible. Too many words. Put it down. Then I decided to read it. It was one of the best books I ever read. How you see things is how you are spiritually and what you're willing to see. And I like seeing where I was wrong, where I had an idea that was wrong. Chuck C. said that every morning he'd wake up and he'd ask God, what else am I wrong about today? Show me. And he said the whole program is to uncover, discover, and discard all the things in me that's blocking me from God. The action of 6 and 7 steps culminates in dropping the rock, all stubborn, grasping, stooping, hold on the batters that are harmful to our progress in recovery. And I wrote, your day and your life will reflect how well you're working 6 and 7. And you can't work 6 and 7 without prayer, meditation, and inventorying every day. So really 10 and 11 and 6 and 7 all come together. And I wrote some notes here. I'm responsible when I get to 6 for how my life is. God won't do for me what I can do for myself. I can pray all the time, but if I'm not willing to let go of my character defects when they come up, nothing's going to change. And I have to practice the opposite of my character defects. It's workout. It's an action step. This isn't an intellectual step. It's an action step. You say, God, I'm practicing anger now. Please remove it. Replace it with love. You have to stop. Now, we talk about pause. Anybody heard about pause? Pause is step 6 and 7, where you pause when you're separated from God and you ask Him for the serenity to see what's blocking you from Him so you can change what you need and accept what you need. Does this make sense? So I want to stop there. Can people bring their handouts back? No, bring them back. Don't give them to me. Bring them back because we're going to be covering this next week and there's some good stuff in here. Is that okay? And I'll have some more if you forget. Thank you.